Good morning. It is certainly good to be in the back in the Lord's house. We're certainly thankful for everyone that's made their way to be with us this morning. Thankful for the visitors that we've had, that we've got this morning with us. And we'll say this, if you are saved through and by the grace of God, I don't see you as a visitor, but as a brother and sister in Christ. And this morning, as we are in the Lord's service, you know, follow the Lord. I believe that has become the only rule that I can come up with, and that's just to follow the Spirit of God. And I believe that if we all, as God's children, follow the Spirit of God, then we can see some great things happen in the Lord's service. This morning, certainly thankful for the good piano playing and song selection, and Brother Danny playing the bass up here. We're thankful for and appreciative of that. But there's, as we sung one of the songs, there was a thought that came to my mind, and I guess the song, there's a great day coming, you know. There's a sad day coming to those who are lost and undone. And as we've talked about it in Sunday school this morning, I don't know about y'all, but if you was in our Sunday school class, and you, if you didn't come to Sunday school this morning, you really missed a great discussion. And I don't know, I think it's a discussion that sort of stirred my heart a little bit this morning. And I'm thankful that God does that. But if you're lost and undone this morning, are you ready for that judgment day to come? That's the question that we would propose this morning, and some that you should take into consideration. But before we go further in the Lord's service, I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us this morning, and I hope you are too. But as we come to the Lord's service this morning, before we go further, we do feel a need that we should go to Him at a word of prayer. But before we do, I wonder if anybody has a prayer request or anything that they just want to thank the Lord for this morning. I do wonder at this time, before we go further in the service, if there's anything upon anybody's hearts that they feel like needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has laid upon our hearts. And as we state so many times, if there's anything that you feel like the Lord needs you to do, maybe to testify, or maybe you're lost and the Lord's drawing you to come to the altar, you're not going to hinder the preaching one bit. We just ask that you would follow the Spirit and leadership of God. This morning, as we've come here today, the Lord has placed a thought upon our hearts, and something that we've struggled trying to study and pray over. And so we ask that you would continue to pray for us. But the thought that the Lord has placed on our hearts for this morning is from the inside out. From the inside out. And as the Lord had placed that on our hearts earlier in the week, I started to think about it and pray about it. And, you know, we believe and we teach that salvation is an inward working. You know, it happens on the inside. And I praise God for that. I thank God that we teach and still believe and still preach in a heartfelt salvation and in a no-so salvation that only God can give. And I believe that's scriptural. And I believe that that was something that has been passed down from many generations. And I believe that that was something that Jesus himself taught while he was here in this world. But you know, as I began to think about that, and how it's an inward working of man, you know, it's our job as those of us who have been saved to let it show on the outside. You know, and I began to think and ask God about that, you know, And as we come today after the service to observe the ordinance of baptism, you know, what it is it's a public proclamation of what God has done for us. You know, and I believe that it is a commandment that Jesus gave while he was here on this earth. That after you've been saved by the grace of God, that it is a duty and a job to join the Lord's church. And it is a commandment that he gives. But I believe today that as we go and think about this baptism, you know, Jesus told us one time, I believe it was the book of Luke, and how he said, a man who has a light, he doesn't put it underneath the bushel, but he puts his light upon a candlestick so everybody in the house can see.
Amen.
And you know, and I believe that that's a good example of baptism, Brother Todd. You know, that's what it is it's a public proclamation. It's setting their light upon that candlestick so this whole world can see. But you know, that proclamation doesn't need to stop at baptism. You see, I'm afraid so many of us today, we see a lost soul get saved. Let me tell you what, I praise God that he's still in the saving business. And I thank God that he still reaches down and saves an old sinner soul. It's something precious in this life. Something that you won't get from anybody else except God himself. But you know, as I begin to think about that, you know, working for God, it doesn't stop after you get saved. And it doesn't stop after you get baptized. That's just the beginning of it. It's a beginning of a lifelong journey and a lifelong work. And let me tell you, following God and trying to stick close to that Spirit, it's hard. It is. Paul said one time in the book of Romans, he was talking about baptism and in the sixth chapter there, and how he talked about that he was to crucify the flesh. And in Galatians, he said that he would crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And let me tell you, it's hard. It is. It's. I found it to be a daily conflict, a daily battle, daily war, not just with Satan, but with this flesh. And I'm afraid so many times we like to blame Satan for every bad thing that's happened in our life. But lots of times it's because we brought it upon ourselves.
Amen.
Lots of times it's because we let this flesh get in the way. And let me tell you what, when you let this flesh get in the way of serving God, that light that's on that candlestick, it gets dim. Not bright at all. Folks, let our lights be burning today. Let it just burn that we could just work from the inside out, that people can see what God has done for our souls. You know, I remember, and I know, starting out trying to serve the Lord, you know, you get that little fire underneath you, and you just want to go until that very first instance pops up in your life, and you let the flesh, and you let Satan just get the best of you. Folks, let me tell you what. Just keep marching on for God. Don't give up. I'm afraid so many times we get discouraged in this life and we let Satan discourage us. But folks, don't throw up your hands and quit. There's a world of lost sinners out there that need to hear about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, I found growing closer to the Lord, you know, let me tell you this, and I know it might sound a little funny, but let me say this, I promise I'll try to get some scripture in a minute, But you know, whenever I first got saved, I didn't really love my Lord. I was just thankful I wasn't going to the devil's hell. But you know, the more I get closer to my Lord, the more I talk to Him, the more I love my Lord for what He done for me. You know, I think today here at Friendship Church, we need to fall in love with Jesus. You know, now, preacher, that sounds a little silly. I know it does. But I'm going to give you this example. And I probably gave it in time past. Forgive me. But you know, me and my wife, whenever we first met, you know, there's people who say they believe in love at first sight. And that's okay. That's just not how I experienced it. You know, but when me and my wife first met, yeah, I thought she was pretty. Yeah, I thought she was wonderful. But you know, there wasn't really nothing that I just fell in love with, you know. But you know, the more I get closer to my wife, the more I get to know my wife, the more I just love my wife. And you know, that's about how it is with Jesus, folks. We need to get to know Jesus. We need to take time out of our day and sit down and have a little conversation with Jesus. We need to take time out of our day and study what Jesus said. We need to fall in love with Jesus. And when we fall in love with Jesus, Brother Tom, let me tell you something. Whenever I start falling in love with Jesus, it makes me want to show that love to everybody else that I meet, you know. Working it from the inside out. We don't need to keep it in here. We don't need to keep it in here. You know, sometimes when the Spirit moves, you know, and it starts bubbling up our hearts, and we start getting a little emotional, we say, no, I'm not going to cry. No, I'm not going to show anything. You know, there's been times the Lord will fill my cup up, about make me want to shout, and I'll stop for a minute. Say, no, I ain't going to do that. But you know what? It's okay to let it show from the inside out. You know, that's how people know that there's a difference between the children of God and the people of this world. Amen. They need to know that there's something different about us, folks. We need to work it from the inside out. Not just on Sunday mornings, but on a day-to-day basis. Let God work from the inside out. That's our job that we've been given to as the church, to go tell people about the goodness and the mercies of the love of God. You know, and whenever I start thinking about the church, I start thinking about a man that came before Jesus. You see, there, but Prophet Isaiah told us in the 40th chapter there, that there was a man who was supposed to be a forerunner. One man to come before Jesus. And he's supposed to come and set the way and get the people ready for this Son of God to come. And you know what he did? You know, we read, you know, in the Bible and commentaries and all these theologians, they'll tell you between Malachi and Matthew, there is about, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is about a 400-year period where the Word of God, no prophet or anything, was spoken in the land. They called it a silent period. But you know, after that period came, there was a voice that was crying out in the wilderness. And you know what he said? He said, prepare. He said, well, let me get to this. I don't want to mess it up. But he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? That same message that John preached is the same message we need to preach today. Amen. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, there was people who was coming to be baptized by John the Baptist. You know, and John the Baptist started to have a little fame go around about him, you know. Well, there was people who started to question him and said, are you the Messiah? Let me tell you what. You read this in the first chapter of John. I love what he said there. They said, are you the Messiah? And he said, are you at least one of these prophets? And he said, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the light, but I've come to bear witness of the light. Folks, let me tell you what. We're not the ones who can save a soul, but we are the ones that can bear witness of that true light. We're the ones who can be out there preparing, going out there to the highways and hedges. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me tell you what, the gospel message is still the same. Oh, but it's still as good as ever, my friends. It's still as refreshing, you know. Sometimes I'll pick up a book that I've read about 200 or 300 times. And let me tell you, sometimes it just gets a little old, you know. But then whenever I read about my Savior coming and about what he did for my sin debt, that never gets old. That's still as new to me as it was when God saved my soul. It's still as good and refreshing to me as the day he reached down and saved a little old sinner boy. Folks, let me tell you, if you've been saved by the grace of God, don't be afraid to show it. Don't be afraid to show it. Let God move through you. You never know what you might have to say. God could just use that to just help somebody else find the way. You know, don't be afraid to let what's bubbling up on the inside just flow out from us. I don't care if people want to call us an emotional church or maybe a loud church, but folks, let me tell you what, we need to be the church that tries to serve the Lord and tries to lead people to Him. Amen. However the Lord might use us, God, use me whatever way would be pleasing to you. And of course, brother, I had to come up here this morning. I told my wife, I said, I've been taking my jacket off each time I preach. I guess I just need to stop wearing it, you know. Brother Jeff, not too long ago, he said down in Alabama, you'd be what we call a hee-haw preacher, you know. Call me a hee-haw preacher. Call me crazy. But let me tell you what. I just want God to be pleased and satisfied in everything that I do. No matter what people might say, folks, our light needs to be burning bright for this dark and sinful world. Amen. So maybe I am a hee-haw preacher. There ain't nothing wrong with it. You know, whenever I first started preaching, I didn't mean to get on all this, but you know, we're just going to go where the Lord leads us. You know, whenever I first started preaching, Brother Danny, I got emotional a lot. I started crying and not even read the Bible, and that bothered me, you know. And so I said, Lord, just let me stop being emotional. And then when there's times I got up there And I didn't cry at all, and that bothered me too. So I said, Lord, let me preach however you want me to preach. You know, that's some good instruction, not just for preachers, but lay members. Lord, use us however you would want to use us. Just work me from the inside out. Just use me. You know, John the Baptist there, he was baptizing people there. And you know, there was people that came up to him and they asked him about the Messiah. They'd say, well, and this was in the book of Matthew. He'd said, well, I'm not he who's the Messiah. But there's one man that's coming of the latchet of the shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He will not baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you know, in the book of John, we read how John was baptizing there. And I'll get off of this in a minute, as the Lord will be my helper. But you know, as people just got done asking him about the Messiah, you know who he saw coming down? It was Jesus himself. And you know, Jesus had walked 60 miles to be baptized by John there. And you know, that shows me that there's a little importance to this ordinance. If our Savior himself felt like it was right to be baptized, that shows me there's a little bit of an importance there. And Jesus came and John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Folks, let me tell you what. It's not about us. Never will be about us. But that's what Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, we preach not us, but Jesus Christ and him crucified, because there's nothing else that will save a sinner's soul. Nothing else. You know, I know I'm making a mess out of this. Just bear with us. But you know, Jesus came there to be baptized by John. He got in the water there. And John said, Lord, it should be me asking you to be baptized, to baptize me. And Jesus said, oh, let it be so. Went on and baptized him. And you know, later on, 16th chapter of Matthew is when Jesus, so John got the material ready. Jesus, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, put that material together. Amen. And he looked at his disciples and he said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, folks, when I think about that rock there, you know what? We read and we see many people who say, well, Simon means stone, so therefore, Peter was the rock and the foundation of the church. Let me tell you, there's no other foundation that any man can lay than that which is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we preach, everything we teach, the ordinances that we keep, baptism and the Lord's Supper, we need to make sure every bit of it is backed up by nothing else but the Word of God. Because nothing else, Brother Dale, will stand the test of time. Jesus said in the book of Mark, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah chapter 40, how he was to prophesying about the coming Messiah, or about the man who was supposed to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ, John Baptist himself. It said all life is like the grass, how it just withers away. You know, we read in the book of James how James tells us that life is like a vapor. You know, one day you're here, next day you're gone. I don't know about y'all, but I had the opportunity one time to speak to somebody who was about 100 years old at a nursing home. You know, that my great-grandmother was staying at before she passed. And you know what they said? They said they just remembered like it was yesterday that they was 10 years old playing in the yard. You know, you're here one day and you're gone the next. Life goes by fast. But let me tell you what, when you pass from this life to the next, you know, you can't take anything with you when you pass from this life. But the Bible tells us in the book of Job that it's certain that we brought nothing to this life, so we'll take nothing out. But the only thing that matters in this life, do you know Jesus? Are you saved by His grace? That's the only thing that matters. And I've come to the realization in this life, no matter how much money I have, no matter how nice the car I have, no matter how nice the home I have, nothing in this life I will take with me. But there's one thing I know for certain. That's what the Lord done for me when He saved my soul. I believe I can die with that. Not only do I believe I can die with that, I know I can die with that. And I know that that will take me home. The glory one day after a while. Amen. Folks, let me tell you, I'm glad that it's something that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's real and something just beyond our comprehension. We know that something happened. There is a song that came to my heart today for some reason before we came here to church, and I've not heard it in years. And a lot of y'all might not like me when I said who sung it. But there's a song that Johnny Cash sung. You know what it said? There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. And they say we only can hope and just trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened. And so I guess I ought to know. Folks, ain't you glad what God done for you on that day? You know, this coming November, I'll be 15 years old spiritually. You know, my wife says I act like a 15-year-old. That's okay. But I'll be 15 years old spiritually. And let me tell you what, some of you are a whole lot older spiritually than that. And praise God for it. But you know, whether you just got saved, whether you're 15 years old spiritually, whether you've been saved for 50 years, folks, as long as we have breath and God allows us time, it is our job to tell people what God has done on the inside. Amen. To tell people what God placed on the inside of us. A joy that is unspeakable, but yet it's just full of glory. I can't describe it. Oh, but it's amazing. Praise the Lord. And if you don't know where you stand, let me tell you this. God is not the author of confusion. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers that God cannot lie. But you know what? The book of John tells us how Jesus was talking about the truth. You know, He said the truth shall set you free. Praise God that I was set free one day. But you know what He said? He said that the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. Folks, let me tell you what. He's not only the father of lies, but the Bible says he's the author of confusion. So if you're confused about where you stand with God, it's not God's fault. Not only that, but sometimes it's also because of how far away you drifted from God. I was in a state one time in my life, drifted far, far from God. I didn't like that feeling. I still don't like the feeling when I drift far from God. But you know, I was in a stage of my life one time when I drifted away from God. Brother Mark, let me tell you. It got me questioning about my salvation. It got me questioning about whether or not I was saved. And it's a dreadful feeling. No, you cannot lose salvation. Bible does not teach that. If we lose salvation, then we crucify the Son of God afresh. We put Him to an open shame, meaning that His sacrifice really wasn't worth anything. But you know, you can drift so far from God that you just don't feel that peace. And you feel trouble. I ran to God one day asking if I was saved. Let me tell you what. God will let you know. He'll let you know where you stand. And let me tell you, Satan himself can only take you so far back. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if I'm saved, show me. You know what He showed me? He took me back to that mortar's bench. That Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church. And Satan couldn't take it no further. You know, I believe that when God saves us, just like He did Job, He put a hedge about us. You can trouble this flesh. Oh, but you can't trouble the soul. And folks, the Bible even tells us we are to not fear them who is able to destroy the body only, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. One of these days, God's going to call an end to this life. We all have an expiration date. We all are going to pass from this life one day. But the question is, are you saved by the grace of God? Is your name written in the book of life? And I believe that the Bible says that we're going to be judged by what? The law. And we've all broken the law, which is why we needed a mediator, which is why we needed somebody to come and plead our cause. But you know, Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, I believe it's the 20th chapter, says the names that aren't found in the book of life, they're casted off to a lake of fire, to a devil's hell. Folks, if you're saved, that ought to scare you for lost people. But if you're lost, that should trouble you. And worry you. Because there's people down in hell who don't even want you to go there themselves. Which is why we read of the rich man pleading for the cause of his brothers and his family members. I'm at least going to flip to one verse of scripture here. I know we went around the world, but in the book of James, in the first chapter, in the 17th verse, you know what James says? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and from the Father of lights. We read in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I'm afraid there's so many people in this world, they try to look to man for salvation.
You know, the ordinance of baptism that we're about to partake. I believe in baptism. I believe in it wholeheartedly. But I believe in it for a different reason than what this world believes in it. Some of them believe in water or baptismal regeneration. You can be saved by water. And I believe this. Apparently, they didn't think about that too much, because you have to have some kind of administrator for you to be baptized. And if you're telling me that baptism can save you, you're telling me man can save you. And man can't do the saving. There's people who say, well, if I just write a card or shake a preacher's hand or repeat a prayer, then it'll be okay. It's got to be between you and God. Nobody else. Nothing else will suffice. There's only one plan of salvation. And Jesus said it himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through and by me. And notice, Brother Danny, he said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the only way. He didn't say I'm a way or I'm just a choice that you can take. I'm the way. The truth. The life. And praise God, when you get to know him, you'll have life everlasting. Not in this life. Let me tell you what, this life doesn't have to help me. It really don't. I don't wish my death to come quickly, but let me tell you what, there's times when I just get a little tired of this life, get a little tired of the troubles and the sorrows and the heartaches that it brings, and I just say, and I get a little homesick, you know. But it's only because that I know what the Lord done for me. I don't know your heart. Only the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Folks, saved individuals, let God use us from the inside out. Oh, that we could just point people to him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters in this life. You know, there was a time in my life football was my everything. It was. Football was my everything. It was my life. I did not miss a practice. I did not miss a workout. I tried my very best to be there at least 30 minutes early before everybody else. It was my life, and it consumed me. Consumed me to the point that I was saved at this point. Consumed me to the point, guess what? That became an idol god in my life. And people say, well, now we only believe in one true God. You can only have one God. Folks, let me tell you what. God put in the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment, I believe he put that top of the list because that's one of the most important ones and something that we struggle with. A whole lot more than anything else. Anything you place before God, whether your job, your sports, your school, your family, your car, you place that before God, top priority. You've created yourself an idol God.
Amen.
Let's do away with all of that. Let's serve the one true God. Let's do away with all the foolishness in this world. And let's serve the one true God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, I promise you, I'm almost done. I'll try to shut up in a minute. But you know, we read in the book of Galatians there about the fruits, the evidence of the Spirit, you know. And I believe that there's some of those fruits God gave us to us today. He saved our souls. Peace, love, joy, for example. First three fruits that Paul lists is something that I received and God saved my soul.
But then there's others like meekness, gentleness, long-suffering. It's something that we need to work for as God's people. See, when God saved your soul, He didn't save you just so you can sit on the bench from Sunday to Sunday. And when you're baptized and a member of this church, you're doing the church a harm when you just come here and just go through the motion of things. You're doing the church, you're doing God a disservice. Folks, let me tell you what. And let me tell you one thing that really bothers me a lot. Lord, I don't know why you brought this up, but that's okay. One thing that really bothers me a lot, you can't go through church, you can't go through a funeral, or you can't go through a wedding without a cell phone going off. And we act like we need those. Let me tell you what, folks. Let's do away with all the materialistic things of this world. Maybe out of your day, take 30 minutes away from your phone. Let's serve God. Let's have God work us, use us from the inside out. My thoughts have left me. I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I pray above all God was pleased. I know I was everywhere. Thank you for bearing with me. But Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Let us stand and sing. Brother Mark, come up to the piano. Brother Danny, if you want to, play bass. Let us all stand and sing. While we stand and sing, let us just think about the words this morning. Ponder.